Welcome, everybody, to Live with Dr. Carolyn Dean. Carolyn is amazing. She's a doctor, she's a naturopath, she's an herbalist, she's an acupuncturist. She's going to tell you exactly what she would do if she were in your shoes. I can't think of a person who has devoted more time to helping people's health than Dr. Carolyn Dean. She can make a huge difference as you listen to her words of wisdom. We know she's ahead of time because she is the doctor of the future. Welcome, Dr. Carolyn Dean.
We will be welcoming Dr. Carolyn Dean as soon as Rachel unmutes her. Yay! And hello, Carolyn?
There she is. I'm sorry, Rachel. I had to finish eating my cucumber chicken tomato salad and I was crunching. So I muted myself. So I'm back.
Sorry. Welcome back.
Thank you, Rachel. And Rachel, we're going to be playing her song at the end of the show, so don't click off right away. Right, the doctor of the past is here and ready to start the show. And I got my usual couple of dozen testimonials from our customers through Megan and the staff. And I don't mean to sound blasé about it. I mean, we appreciate every positive testimonial. I mean, they get better and better. But I really have so much to say today, so many topics that I won't read out the testimonials. Just know that we have an awesome customer service team and they are enjoying what they do, which is awesome. This weekend, I happened upon a mitochondrial webinar. And I keep listening to these things. I get very frustrated with them. I keep listening to see, well, is there anything new? Are people catching up to where we're at? But I was pretty shocked to see that in the six different lectures I listened to, only one person mentioned the use of magnesium when it comes to mitochondrial health. And I'm sure you all know by now, when I talk about mitochondria, I say that many of the steps in first the glycolysis cycle that makes the pyruvate to go into the Krebs cycle. And then in the Krebs cycle, there's all these steps that require magnesium. Also, potassium is required in the B vitamins. And magnesium, as we know, is important for energy. They talk about in mitochondrial kind of depletion or when the mitochondria slow down, that people have such low energy. We know magnesium is important for the energy to move our muscles. I mean, it's the ATP. They talk about ATP a lot, which comes out of the Krebs cycle. But anyway, they don't talk about magnesium. It's so frustrating. And, you know, we're going to try to turn that around. We are going to launch my new magnesium book pretty soon. Ginny, are we allowed to tell people that it's on Amazon right now? Magnesium, the missing link to total health?
Yes, but if you're a member of our drdean.com website, you get the book for free. So you may not want to be rushing over there to do things where Dr. Dean makes announcements ahead of time. because they are going to get a free copy of the book. Okay.
Oh, that's awesome. Very good. But you can go there and write a positive review about it right now. And what else can I say? In gut health and mitochondria, no mention of yeast overgrowth. in talking about the liver, again, a lot of discussion about low energy, poor sleep, apathy around liver stagnation or fatty liver. And no talk about magnesium deficiency or the B vitamins. Mitochondria apparently are negatively affected by toxins and inflammation, and what clears out both magnesium, the B vitamins in Realign, the methionine precursor to glutathione in Realign, and taurine. Actually, I was reminded that taurine, which is one of the amino acids in Realign, is a precursor to bile salts, and which I realized I haven't really talked about. So taurine, Ginny, is important for the liver, for the bile salts, for lung, and bile salts, what they do is help break down the fats. For longevity, they agreed that people wouldn't do intermittent fasting to support mitochondrial detox. Just like in allopathic medicine, where they say, well, yeah, it's so hard to get people to do diet and this and that. Let's give them this hoity-toity, supplement that we just created because they won't fast. So they don't give their patients and clients any credit for taking care of themselves. And yeah, they push. There's a new nutrient found in pomegranate supplements, and they don't talk about magnesium. They talk about red light therapy, infrared saunas, something called the PEMF devices, pulsed electromagnetic field. And then this is a technology using electromagnetic waves to improve cellular function, promote circulation, and support your body's natural healing response. But as we've said many times, none of these energy medicines work on a body that doesn't have the nutrients to make energy. It's like they think, your cellular function can improve without the cellular components. It's very bizarre. So yes, in conclusion, I've listened to so many of these webinars, and I see the practitioners, they ignore magnesium. They probably run into the laxative effect. They don't know about REMAG, so they give up on it and they go off to other nutrients, mostly expensive antioxidants. So another thing, actually, I have a note here about one of the lectures. It was quite interesting. It's about hormetic stress, hormesis, H-O-R-M-E-S-I-S. Now, this I ran into in my homeopathic world. So hormesis is a characteristic of many biological processes. Mainly, it's a biphasic response to exposure to increasing amounts of a substance or condition. Within the hormetic zone, the biological response to low exposures to toxins and other stressors is generally favorable. So that's where homeopathy comes in. But then, saying homeopathic arsenic, it can provide some healing for certain conditions, whereas arsenic will kill you. So on one of these lectures on this summit this weekend, a practitioner talked about using hormesis to stress the body just past its comfort zone with exercise, cold baths, hot saunas. And he said it was to stimulate mitochondria to grow in response. So I've talked about this many times, that stressing the body in this process, I liken it to the body thinks it's under attack and it's going to die. So yes, it'll produce more mitochondria, it'll produce growth hormone, it'll produce all kinds of biological chemicals that the researchers will measure and say, oh my gosh, look, it's doing all these amazing things. But if a person doesn't supply the nutrient building blocks that are used up as the body reacts against stress, then it's going to eventually weaken it. And in all this, very new cutting edge hormesis talk, no mention of magnesium and other minerals that are lost for sure in hot saunas or cold stress or heavy exercise. The only doctor that talked about magnesium or mentioned it was Sarah Myhill. She's a UK practitioner. I've known about her way back because she was one of the first doctors to treat chronic fatigue, and they call it myalgic encephalomyelitis. So when I was treating chronic fatigue in Toronto, she was treating it over in the UK. But what she said about magnesium is to take 300 milligrams. Now that's not enough. That's one teaspoon of REMAG. That's not enough to saturate. But of course she comes up against the laxative effect, I'm sure, in patients, so she stays low. And she said magnesium helps vitamin D absorption. You could say it that way, but magnesium is necessary for vitamin D activation. Now, there was something interesting, again, she reminded me of, where, when your digestion is out of balance, the upper gut starts fermenting. And that's, and she didn't mention it, was because of yeast, but that's because of yeast. Another very interesting thing she said was lactic acid destroys mitochondria. Now, lactic acid will be formed if you don't have enough magnesium to metabolize the lactic acid as you're creating it when you're doing exercise. So another reason that we need our magnesium. And she said how important hypothyroidism is, or the treatment of hypothyroidism. Of course, she doesn't know about the 9 minerals necessary to make thyroid hormone, which we take our REMITE for the purpose of making our own thyroid hormones. She puts people on thyroid replacement, but she uses natural thyroid glandulars. And I was happy that she talked about intermittent fasting. She said the diet people should use so that they stay away from sugars is paleo keto. She said sugar metabolism creates oxidation, and then we require all the antioxidants, whereas ketones do not. And also, I would say sugars feed the upper fermenting gut. And for getting rid of volatile chemicals, Epsom salt baths, she's still using. And for heavy metals, she went into using a challenge amount of DMSA, which is a chelating agent. I never followed that because if a person with heavy metal poisoning takes DMSA, which pushes out heavy metals that then you collect in a 24-hour urine, you can really make them much sicker because all these heavy metals are coming out. And, I think what we've found with our customers who've done before and after hair analysis and different tests, that when they're on the protocol, their heavy metals start diminishing. And here's my conclusion to all this, Ginny, is that it seems to me that we're not seeing people with chronic fatigue and, dozens of different chronic diseases. We aren't seeing people suffering with all these symptoms that other practitioners are having to do all these exotic tests and treatments, expensive exotic, because on these building blocks that we're using, your body is detoxing volatile chemicals and heavy metals. It is supporting your bile with the taurine, for example, and supporting liver detoxification. You are on keto and intermittent fasting. You are taking all the necessary omegas, omega-3s, to support your cell membranes so they don't leak. You are very aware of yeast overgrowth so that you're not creating this fermenting gut, et cetera, et cetera. So, Ginny, we are saving lives here. And at some point, you know, we will do a deep dive survey on our customer base to see what is the, you know, the incidence of various, you know, chronic diseases, the befores and afters of our population. So what do you think, Ginny? What do you think of my thesis?
Well, I mean, I think you're absolutely positively correct. I think that's why we have so many people on the phone every week and so many devoted customers, because at their foundation, they know that they're being totally supported. Mm-hmm. And it is a wild and wacky world out there where people are looking for solutions, but sometimes the best marketing team wins. And, it's just about that is, you know, making presentations, using keywords to make compelling arguments that they really have very little basis in truth. And I like what, one of my friends say, if the body can make it endogenously, you don't need to take it exogenously. And so certainly the minerals and stuff like that, your body can't make them. And without chelating them out of your bones, which is part of the problem anyway. So, you know, everybody has got to have REMAG. It's just a non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. So we have to continue to get the word out to people. And, you know, in 2019, we did a big campaign where we asked people to go in and talk to their doctor about using these products in their clinic. And I think we may have to do it again, because I mean, we're in a situation, we've still got to worry about the teenagers. We've got mental health issues out the wazoo. Now we want to get these biohackers with their fancy dancy words and terms. And in the meantime, you know, the Titanic is sinking, you know, and they're worried about the band. I mean, it's ridiculous. So I agree with you. We are definitely saving lives. And the more people that know it, the more people have the opportunity for the same experience.
Right. Very good. Very good. Are there any questions yet, or will I dive into the next part of my...
Let's see. Everybody's so happy to be here. And of course, oh, here's Virginia Sanders on the chat line. Yay! Happy Independence Day. Health freedom is our responsibility. Yay about the new book. Yay about the new book. Everybody's excited. Everybody's excited. That's all we have so far tonight. Just joy, ebullient joy.
You said Virginia Sanders was chatting that.
That was me. I was being silly. Yes, I typed that into the chat line.
Oh,
happy 4th of July, everybody.
Exactly. Tomorrow I'll be at the Tuesday market. I'll have my modern American flag on, a t-shirt, modern American flag, and my citizenship American flag sticking out of my back pocket. I'll get a picture taken for Instagram.
Oh, that'll be so cute. So it's, the nation is very honored that on its special birthday, Carolyn retires her magnesium shirt for one day.
Exactly.
One day. That's here, great, though.
Here we go. Death by sugar substitutes. All right. So I had a chapter in Death by Modern Medicine about sugar substitutes. And now we hear that aspartame, the popular sweetener used in soft drinks, has been declared carcinogenic. Aspartame, which is a world-famous artificial sweetener that is used in a host of drinks, has been under the World Health Organization scrutiny, according to the International Agency for Research on Cancer, which is the World Health Organization's cancer research arm. they've classified aspartame as a possible carcinogen. So, of course, the International Sweeteners Association denounces this this horrific recommendation. And they got there with some 100,000 adults in an observational study. Those who consume large amounts of artificial sweeteners had a slightly higher cancer risk. And also the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has noted certain individuals, particularly those with liver disease and during pregnancy, may be affected by aspartame. This happens because their body cannot properly break down phenylalanine, which is a constituent of aspartame. Yeah, there's phenylalanine, aspartic acid, and I think glutamic acid. And Dr. Russell Blaylock, neurosurgeon that I quote in Death by Modern Medicine, says that the aspartic acid and glutamic acid become negative neurotransmitters when they're taken in that, the form of a drink that isolates them. Also, the breakdown product of aspartame is formaldehyde. Maybe I'll say some of that, those words. So various studies claim aspartame causes cancer, seizures, headaches, depression, allergies, skin problems, weight gain, because you're taking it for to lose weight, right? ADHD, sweet cravings, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, lupus, chronic kidney disease, Alzheimer's, and birth defects. And a big thing that Betty Martini, the very vocal advocate against aspartame, she talks a lot about the brain tumors with aspartame. So aspartame is used in thousands of sugar-free and so-called diet-friendly foods and beverages. These include diet sodas, chewing gums, various fruit juices, sugar-free ice cream, light yogurt, sugar-free gums, ketchup, sugarless candies, salad dressing, no sugar energy bars. And that's why it's very important to read product labels. If it says sugar-free, then it's aspartame or the other artificial sweetener, sucralose. So before in the radio show, before, I've talked about aspartame one time listed with the Pentagon in an inventory of prospective biochemical warfare weapons. It's composed of, as I said, aspartic acid, methanol, oh, that's right, and phenylalanine, not glutamic acid. Methanol, for Pete's sakes. That means that 33% of free methyl alcohol is in aspartame products. And of course, methyl alcohol is a strong metabolic poison. So the metabolites of aspartame, you know, when you put in your body, it breaks down into formaldehyde, which is a class A carcinogen, DKP, diketopiperazine, is a brain tumor agent, and formic acid, which is what's in ant sting poison. In 1974, the FDA approved aspartame as an artificial sweetener, but further investigation revealed there was a problem with the safety data. The problem was they lied on the safety data, and the FDA withdrew its approval. So 1974, so we're going back 50 years now. Is it 50? 1975, the FDA initiated an investigation into Searle's laboratory practices. Searle, the maker, S-E-A-R-L-E, and discovered fraud in scientific experiments, as well as manipulated data giving misleading favorable results to falsify the safety of aspartame. Among the manipulated data, they found that animals used in the aspartame experiments had been reported alive when in fact they were dead. Aspartame-induced tumors in laboratory animals were removed surgically, and the animal was reported to be normal. In 1980, Dr. John Olney, O-L-N-E-Y, submitted scientific data to an FDA public board of inquiry showing that aspartic acid, one of the three ingredients in aspartame, causes holes in the brains of mites. Holes, H-O-L-E-S. This explains how aspartame can destroy brains of the unborn. So he was trying to expose it as a poison. Same year, 1980, the Public Board of Inquiry unanimously voted against aspartame approval. But in 1981, a new FDA commissioner, Arthur Hall Hayes, H-A-Y-S, was appointed by Donald Rumsfeld in the Reagan government. And he was the former CEO of Searle, Rumsfeld was. And Arthur Hayes overruled the Board of Inquiry, even against the advice of FDA scientific personnel and advisors, and aspartame was approved. He later went to work for the PR agency of Searle's at $1,000 a day on a 10-year contract and has refused to speak to the press. In 1983, the FDA approved the use of aspartame in sodas. The American Soft Drink Association was against the use of aspartame in carbonated beverages, evoking the Food and Drug Adulteration Law. This protest was included in the Congressional Record in May 1985. They did not consider aspartame to be safe for human consumption, yet it was added to sodas anyway. So there we have it. There's no, burden of proof. I remember burden of proof being used by Rachel Carson, who wrote Silent Spring about environmental pollution. The burden of proof is that it lies with the activity's proponents, so the makers of aspartame, and not with the general public. But I mean, you can see that, this was a done deal, a put up deal, behind the scenes, people getting paid to say bad things. And we still have actual live medical doctors who will write an opinion piece called In Defense of Artificial Sweeteners in Medscape Today. So they've normalized poisonous artificial sweeteners. And this lady doctor, shame on her, goes on to talk about, more than 140 million Americans use artificial sweeteners, a habit driven by the irrefutable fact that excess sugar is harmful, blah, blah, blah. And she says, I'm continually amazed by the alarmist headlines on the topic. Good grief, woman. So she says it's been generally regarded as safe. So who's, why should we worry? And blah, blah, blah. I mean, Ginny, help me out here. Help me out. I'm sputtering.
Well, you're sputtering with righteous indignation, but it just goes to show you how far back our government has been motivated by issues other than the safety of the human consumer.
Yeah.
And so the FDA, supposedly dedicated to the safety of human consumptive behavior in foods and drugs in the United States, is once again revealed to be not the truth on their own agenda. And this goes back to the 80s. So I remember somebody saying, Edward Dowd, on interview, what do criminals do when they're getting away with something? They do more, and they do it harder. So criminals don't stop. They just keep going. And that's what has happened in our country. Our systems have gone unchecked, and they are totally corrupted for private profit and personal gain.
Exciting times that we can step outside of the picture, remove ourselves, look at it, see what's going on. I think that's why I'm having so much fun with this 1-hour radio show, is I get to show you my thought process when I read some of these articles and papers. Seriously, has this doctor who writes, you know, in defense of artificial sweeteners, has she even read the history? Does it even occur to people to look at the past? No, it doesn't. But this is why, you know, I like to rant about these things. The next rant is another death by modern medicine. The article says bariatric metabolic surgery is more effective than lifestyle changes for NASH. NASH, it's non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. All that is fatty liver. And I mean, that's what they say. They, you know, pretend to put people on some lifestyle modifications that, oh, it just doesn't work. Well, let's do surgery. It's crazy. I mean, I guess the surgery is to, you know, take out a hunk of a person's stomach to reduce their weight, but it's just incredible. And this type of study, this type of research, trying to say that reducing the weight is what we have to do, but we have to do all kinds of measures like surgery. I looked at the disclosures of the companies that supported this particular research. That's more important than their, you know, their stupid research details. And there are 20 disclosures, mostly of medical tech companies that are moving beyond drugs for the treatment of obesity and diabetes. And just to go over a couple of these things, a company called Fractyl Health, F-R-A-C-T-Y-L, great name because they're fracturing everything. So their lead product is Revita, R-E-V-I-T-A. It targets duodenal dysfunction, which we believe to be the driver in insulin resistance in type 2 diabetes. Via a minimally invasive endoscopy procedure. So they stick a tube down your throat and it's an outpatient procedure. They introduce the Revita catheter through your mouth into the duodenum. The catheter is designed to isolate the mucosa from the deeper layers of the duodenum to separate these layers and then hydrothermally ablate the excess surface layers of the duodenal lining. Blowtorch into your duodenum and killing it.
Oh my gosh.
In the days following the ablation procedure, the duodenal mucosa regenerates, which we believe, they say, they don't know, they haven't studied it enough, we believe leaves the duodenal lining revitalized and better able to function. Don't they say that to women? Let's burn off some of your skin, and when it grows back, it won't have so many wrinkles. They say leaves the duodenal lining revitalized and better able to function in a man that has the potential to improve metabolic health. I mean, they don't even know that insulin resistance is what we're up against. The more insulin, the more weight gain, the more sugar in the blood and damaging of tissues. I have no idea what they think they're doing with this duodenum. Fractyl Health is developing Rejuva. Notice how their names start with R-E, Ginny. Rejuva, a novel pancreatic gene therapy platform to enable long-term remission of type 2 diabetes, designed to restore insulin production capacity in the pancreas in people with advanced type 2 diabetes. So like I said, insulin resistance is what's causing the diabetes. So and, you know, why produce more insulin if you haven't taken care of the resistant cells? Again, this involves an endoscopy, locally administered adeno-associated virus to the pancreas. to enable local gene therapy. They're going to shoot directly into the pancreas a virus. And we know that type 1 diabetes is often associated with a viral infection of the pancreas. We're back in Nazi Germany with those experiments. And they say this will enable the local production of key metabolic hormones that are known to be necessary for proper insulin production in the beta cells of the pancreas. So again, they're attacking the pancreas to to produce more insulin. My gosh. And what's this? There's another company uses the following words that are utter bullshit, designed to hypnotize funders into investing. That's what I'm thinking. So the ERASE T2D, type 2 diabetes task force, builds on decades of discovery that have clearly identified the critical role of the gut as a regulator of metabolic disease. The signaling mechanisms between the gut and the rest of the body are numerous and not yet fully understood, but we're gonna go in there anyway. The ERASE task force is charged with advancing research on the role of the gut to catalyze future discoveries that may inform how diabetes can be better understood and ultimately erased. This initiative, funded by Fractal Health, is meant to spur the kind of innovative thinking and fundamental breakthroughs that will point the way toward a world without type 2 diabetes. Man, don't they know you just have to stop eating sugar and do intermittent fasting? Nope, they don't. Another company, they make some low-calorie, highly metabolic efficient nutrients called dicarboxylic acids, dicarbs, that provide the benefits of fats and carbohydrates, but prevent their metabolic pitfalls. Their dicarbs are components of the natural protective polymers, chitin and seborin, the waterproof part of leaves and fruits that regulate the flow of nutrients in plants. So they're going to give you the waterproofing proteins and pretend they're food for some reason. I can't go on. I'm just so amazed. Yeah, I just looked at a few of the 20 companies funding this study before I got too disgusted to continue. And just go to Dr. Jason Fung's obesity book, The Obesity Code. And he didn't even have to write the book. He just should have wrote on every page, stop eating sugar, which stops insulin surges. So there. I'm done, Ginny.
That's so funny. Somebody wrote into the chat line, Dr. Dean is on fire tonight.
Well, yeah, when they take a blowtorch to your duodenum for some unknown reason, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty silly.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we've got a caller who's going to step into the fire.
Okay.
God bless James. Okay, hang in there, James. We're going to take you off mute and let you talk with Dr. Dean. Go ahead, please.
Thanks for having me on, Dr. Dean.
Okay, go ahead, James.
Yeah, so I sent this question in by email. Would you like me to read it out again in case you don't have it in front of you?
I don't have it in front of me. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. So I'll just, I have it all written out. I started the keto diet about a year and a half ago, and it helped me in a lot of ways. Lost a lot of weight. It was great, way more athletic, but it was at least correlated with some heart palpitations. Mm-hmm. I took some electrolyte supplements such as Element, and Keto Chow drops, and that seemed to help, but I could never quite get them to go away completely. And after about a year and a half now, I just went off the keto diet, hoping that would get them to go away. And I'm doing moderate carb now. But the palpitations are still coming back, especially, when I'm, physically exerting, when I'm exercising, It also seems to come, I live in Phoenix, so when I go out, when it's hot, that seems to make it worse. Or when I play an exciting video game, that seems to cause the palpitations too. Mm-hmm. That being said, when these palpitations come back, they do seem to get better when I drink. At this point, I'm putting some electrolyte solution into a glass of water, and then salt in there too. And that seems to, if I drink a lot of it, that does seem to get it to go away, but it just keeps coming back. So I was wondering if you had any suggestions. One thing I'm considering is your Remag supplement, because maybe I'm already taking magnesium pills too. I'm taking these Doctor's Best magnesium pills, 4 per day. Right. I could look at how many milligrams that is. I'm still having this problem. And so I'm considering that maybe I need higher absorption magnesium. It could be that really this isn't an electrolyte problem at all. It could be, but it does seem to get better when I take electrolytes.
Okay, my turn.
So I was wondering what you would think. Yeah, your turn.
Okay, you said it. You know, maybe I need a better absorbed magnesium. Because you did the experiment. You took the electrolytes. Oh, I feel a bit better. So you just don't have the right electrolytes, because none of the electrolyte supplements out there have a picometer size, you know, stabilized ion of magnesium or potassium or sodium, etc. So that's the whole deal. It's getting the right absorption or the best absorbed nutrients. And this is what I've always said about the keto diet, is you really have to be careful about taking your electrolytes, taking the, as we call them, complement formulas, because if you're not eating the fruits and vegetables you used to eat, where are you getting your nutrients? So that's the big deal with keto, is you have to take your Remag and Remite and pico potassium. So it's just a matter of switching that up when you're taking like Doctor's Best. I don't know, is that a magnesium citrate, James? Have you got your bottle
it's
handy?
A magnesium. Let me go look at the bottle. I'll switch to my.
So yeah, the magnesiums in the pills and whatnot, as Ginny always says, you know, we've proven that having a liquid magnesium is really the best. And of course, ours is the best because it is a stabilized ion. So when you get a compound of magnesium, the body breaks it down, and then in sort of the liquid of your gastric juices and then the liquid of your blood, it disassociates the magnesium from the citrate part or the chloride part, disassociates for an instant. And in that instant, it can be absorbed into your cells. And it's only an instant because magnesium is so dynamic and it wants to bind up right away. It's so active. It's called the spark of life. Magnesium is what they use in fireworks. Tomorrow there'll be magnesium everywhere because it's the spark. So you light a magnesium igniter, and it causes the fireworks. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I did not know that. So I'm looking, it's magnesium lysinate, glycinate, chelate.
Glycinate, chelate. Yeah, there was this whole thing years ago about chelating all the minerals. They said, well, you know, the chelation, that's something that I think they said plants do or something. They got this whole notion about chelating. But plants, what happens with plants when they have to absorb their minerals from the soil, their mineral ion channels are picometer in size. So plants depend on the bacteria and the worms and the whatever in the soil to break minerals down, and then the minerals are absorbed into the plants, and then the plants, I guess the plants chelate them or something so that they'll stick to in the plant. When we eat the plants, then we have to break down the plant minerals. So the chelation was just kind of a marketing ploy to get people thinking that, oh, this is just like plants. It's going to be so exciting. But it's all about what gets ionized, and stabilized ions are not possible unless they're treated in the proprietary process that our chemists developed. I mean, that's just, that's what it is. So what you're going to do is get the REMAG, and in 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to tell us that you have no more heart palpitations.
I hope so. Now, should I try? You mentioned a few other things. I'm not 100% sure it's the magnesium I'm deficient on. I'm definitely going to get that. Are there some other supplements I should take?
Right. I mean,
you know, could I, is it possible that this could be a deficiency in sodium or potassium or well, some of the other ones?
Right. If you look at my work, and probably what the best thing to do, James, is call our customer service and then walk through our protocols, because all the liquid that a person drinks, you should have a quarter teaspoon of a good sea salt in the drinking water, in every liter of drinking water, a quarter teaspoon of sea salt. And that gets your sodium going and gets you hydrated, because you need the water to hold the minerals, and then the minerals go into the cells, the stabilized ionic minerals. And then those minerals in an osmotic gradient pull water into the cells, and then boom, you've got an active normal cell. So I mean, just kind of an experiment, I'd say do the sea salted water and REMAG for a couple of weeks and see what happens, and then you can add our REMITE for the other minerals and maybe pico potassium. But go over that with one of our customer service people when you place your order.
Okay, so I'll try there. I'll see if the REMAG solves it for me, and then if it doesn't, then I'll move on to REMITE and then pico potassium.
Correct.
Okay, I will try that. Thank you very much, Dr. Dean.
Thank you, James. Tell me how old are you, James?
34.
Okay, young guy. See, you know, anybody can be low in minerals. And you know, what would a doctor say to you if you went and said, oh, I'm having this heart palpitations? They might just chalk it up to anxiety.
It could be that, but my anxiety has gone way down over the last year. So I don't think that's the case. So
no, I'm not saying it's the case. I'm just saying that
they would say. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
They would look, you know, they might not even stop to do blood electrolytes, but they'd all probably be normal in the blood. If you had,
they were, I did get a blood test. My electrolytes were normal. Yeah.
Yeah. So then you're led to believe, oh gosh, you know, some people who don't think it through, they think, well, I guess I'm just anxious. You know, they don't go the full route and phone me up and find out what's really going on.
Yeah. Hopeful. I would love if this were just a magnesium deficiency. That would be great. So let's see if this can solve the problem for me.
Okay, great. Thank you for calling in. Great call.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, James. Bye-bye. Ginny.
Oh, Dr. Dean strikes again, and another person is going to be totally back to not having any heart palpitations and being able to trust their body again, because they don't know what's happening on, and there's just nothing worse than when your heart goes on its own program. Right. But it really just needs magnesium and all the good things. And of course, James will call back in, maybe a little pinch of potassium. Carolyn, what did you think about that? Did you say?
Well, we're just doing the experiment, but James did say he's back on carbs, carbs. So yeah. He's eating some vegetables. See, this is the whole thing, people. You know, when I talked about keto, I always said, make sure you get your REMAG and REMITE and your pico potassium. I think it was in the whole keto fad days that I put out the pico potassium, because they saw that so many people were, you know, deficient in their vegetable intake. And that's where it came from. So James, young guy, seriously, why should he be going around with heart palpitations? So very fascinating. Okay, what's next?
We have 10 minutes in our hour-long show.
Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Everybody's happy for James. And Elma is the most wonderful and dedicated person ever. And she said, that's why I take all of Dr. Dean's stuff. Elma's so wonderful. She's well, so fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And is it Dubai? Where is Elma? Dubai or?
No. She's in, not in Kuwait. No, not in Kuwait. A place, something like that. Elma, tell us where you are. I'm sorry, sweetheart. I forgot.
I know. I forgot. Because I've been to Dubai. It's hot there. You're sweating there. Hot, sweat. It's incredible. So I'm going to talk about liver detox. I think I mentioned it when it's around this webinar business. So you have to keep the liver clean because the liver cleans the blood. And you do that with magnesium, which is our REMAG, the B vitamins, and Realign for the liver detox pathways. Taurine as a building block and substrate for producing bile. And I'm in the middle of writing a new yeast overgrowth book. And in it, I talk about the ability of REMAG to elevate the immune system to such an extent that the body is strong enough to begin eliminating yeast. So I've said this before, but it's all this stuff is worth repeating because, you know, you get it on the rebound. So when your immune system, after 2-3 months of REMAG, when your immune system starts really waking up, you can start to feel kind of yucky with gas, bloating, skin rashes, coated tongue. Say, oh my gosh, you know, your formulas aren't working anymore. And we say, yay, you're at the stage now where your body, your liver is trying to dump yeast. And what they were saying on this webinar is, Ginny, they're still advising liver flushes with olive oil and lemon juice.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah, where you, fast for a day or so, and then you start drinking straight olive oil and lemon juice.
Oh, my gosh.
I went through that. It turned me off olive oil for years because of the, you know, the burping taste of olive oil. And, you know, Lisa, our good friend, told me that she had so many liver flushes with olive oil and lemon juice, and she's detoxing her little heart out. And by the time she found REMAG, she had terrible anxiety. She was emaciated from the pictures I've seen. And almost immediately on taking REMAG, she stopped having her anxiety and gramophone thoughts and forcing detox on the body is counterproductive. And I can't believe they're still doing it. They go on about, oh yeah, we have to do a liver cleanse. The liver harbors viruses. And if you have viruses hanging out in your liver or hidden in your liver, and you force them out with a liver detox, you can actually start getting a viral infection. I mean, I've seen it, and, you know, I guess I'm saying scary things here, but I think what I'm trying to say is on our products, they are set up in such a way, the basic building blocks, that your body is always detoxing and always cleansing. I mean, remember, Ginny, my foster daughter, she pushed her raw vegan diet to the limit. And it wasn't until her teeth started falling out of her head that she realized she needed animal protein. And in contrast, we don't seem to have people with liver problems. And we don't seem to have people with gallstones in our customer base. Is that because they're taking the building blocks to support liver health? It's likely that's the case. Our people aren't eating sugar, high fructose corn syrup, or simple carbs, I repeat. So yes, we are preventing a lot of health problems with our approach. So there,
So there. That's right. So there. And I think I'm going to get you a t-shirt that says so there.
You know, I just say it on the show. I don't say it. I don't say it in person.
I'm just teasing you.
You got a question? I have more.
No. I was going to tell you that Elma's in Kuwait.
Oh, it is Kuwait. Okay, we'll have to remember that. Death by diet. A study shows higher obesity-related cancer mortality in areas with more fast food. It's like, duh, of course. Communities with easy access to fast food were 77% more likely to have high levels of obesity-related cancer mortality, based on a cross-sectional study of more than 3,000 communities. Now, in my opinion, the researchers tried to tie these results to poor communities without access to healthy foods. But I think they could just as easily have studied teens and young adults assessing their food choices. Because at this point, Ginny, a bad diet seems universal, don't you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Kids in front of their computers, you know, teens, whatever, they're just grabbing snack food and they think it's okay, it's healthy or whatnot, but it's not. Another death by modern medicine, this is about vaccines. They're now trying to say, you'll notice in the news, they're saying, oh, there's more infections, there's more strep, we'll have to get a strep vaccine. And many people think that a lot of respiratory conditions just got counted as COVID during the lost years, I'll call them. But now in 2023, invasive infections are high in children in some parts of the country, even after respiratory viruses like the flu and respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, decreased in those areas. So, okay, what's going on? The reason why infections may seem to be more prevalent, more severe across the board, because of the weakening of the immune system by either COVID itself or the COVID shots. So that all that means to us is you've got to take all your complement formulas. And if you feel tired or run down or think you're getting an infection, take more. That's all. Especially Pico Silver and Zinc Plus Copper if you think you're getting an infection. As far as allopathic medicine goes, you won't be surprised to learn that a strep vaccine is in development. As it stands, presently, children receive 69 shots before age 18, and adults are being advised to get more and more shots. So why not add a few more? And I've said many times before that in Death by Modern Medicine, I wrote about Helgi Ferry, who attended the Canadian Forum on Pharmaceutical Marketing in 2004, and drug company participants said that vaccines are the new frontier of corporate medicine. And then I came hot on the heels of that. I came upon a Medscape article on adult vaccines where they were advising, you know, herpes zoster vaccine, pneumococcal vaccines, annual flu, and likely COVID vaccines. And in 2022, due to rising rates of acute hepatitis B, which you get from IV drug use for Pete's sakes, the CDC began recommending universal hepatitis B shots for everyone aged 19 to 59. The newest virus on the horizon approved by the FDA is for RSV, the respiratory syncytial virus, for adults age 60 and older. And the article says the challenges of incorporating this new vaccine into practice. Many patients won't have heard about it, may feel they don't need it. And the doctor's writing this says, a strong recommendation from a family physician is often enough to convince patients to accept vaccination. And as Jenny would say, heck yeah, let's get in there. Do they get kickbacks for vaccines? Possibly. So regardless, it's important for us to start laying the groundwork now by educating colleagues, staff, and patients about preventing serious illness caused by RSV with vaccines. And I say, irregardless, which is not a word, everyone's immune system is weakened by the incredible shutdown that we had, the 2 years of the lost years and all that came with it. So it's a perfect time to boost your immune system with our Completement formulas. And we're done. We're going to hear Rachel's tune now. Ginny, final words.
You're amazing. And I love you.
Oh my goodness.
I hear your song. I hear your voice calling my name. Your melody plays in the wind. A song that's comforting. I can almost feel you right here beside me. During a storm or trouble, your gentle voice touches my heart, reassures me even though I'm miles apart. We will be together.
I know, that's beautiful.
Beautiful, Rachel. Thank you.
You have been listening to Dr. Carolyn Dean, the Doctor of the Future. Become a member of drcarolyndean.com and get access to all her leading edge of creation information, as well as archives, webinars, and other valuable media resources. Join Dr. Dean and Ginny Almighty same time again next week.